News of the Times. Murderous Mondays. The Murder of Helen Priestley. Welcome to News of the Times. In today's episode, it is 1934 Aberdeen, and the city is horrified at the brutal murder of 8-year-old Helen Priestley, who has been found in a potato sack in a recess under the community stairs of a tenement. Helen has been strangled and interfered with. What makes this case so unique is that the body was interfered with and staged to throw suspicion on a man when, in actuality, it was a woman who committed the crime. The horrific murder of Helen Priestley, a tragic and unique case highlighting some exceptional forensic investigation techniques, is today's episode of Murderous Mondays. We hope you enjoy the show. On the 20th of April, Helen had come back home from school to have some lunch before she returns for the afternoon session. As there is still a bit of time before Helen is due back, her mum gives her a small errand to run to the local shop to pick up a loaf of bread. Helen never returned. From the Dundee Courier, the 21st of April, 1934. Hundreds search for Scott's child. Seen on tram with man. Wireless appeals. Hundreds of civilians and every available policeman in Aberdeen scoured the city, the links and parks yesterday, to trying to trace an 8-year-old girl, Helen Priestley, of 61 Urquhart Road. At breaks in the BBC programme from Aberdeen, appeals were made to help trace the girl, who was said to have been taken away on a tram car by a man. Sent on an errand. Helen was sent on an errand by her parents at about 1:30 p.m. and did not return. It is believed that she boarded a tram car in King Street, travelling towards Bridge of Dee, in the company of a man. The girl was then carrying a loaf of bread. The man, described as being of middle age, average height, and of dirty appearance, he had no collar or tie and was wearing a long coat. The girl is tall for her age and is fair-haired, and was dressed in a blue serge coat with a blue tammy. Men questioned. Several answering the description of the man seen boarding the tram car with the girl have been questioned by police. When news of the affair became known, the whole district was roused to indignation, and hundreds of civilians called at the central police office and offered their services in a search. While crowds gathered around the girl's home in Urquhart Road, police have questioned tram drivers, bus drivers, and conductors on all the routes. The mother of the girl is distracted. She said she sent Helen out for bread and had not seen her since. By torchlight. Many civilians last night, under the charge of police officers, motored to various points and commenced a search of the city and the outskirts. Rain was falling heavily as they searched with the aid of torches and lamps. Up to a late hour, their efforts were unavailing. Among the first to offer his services was Mr. F. Smith of Hutchinson Street, the father of a 2-year-old girl who, last October, was carried away and was found the following morning lying at the edge of a quarry on the outskirts of the city. Only clue. The only clue to the mystery of the girl's disappearance was given by a schoolboy named Richard Sutton, who stated that shortly before 2 o'clock he saw the girl in the company of a man who was unshaven and had no collar and was wearing a torn coat. He said the man was holding Helen by the hand, and he watched them board a tramcar and go to the top deck. Helen, he said, was carrying a loaf of bread wrapped in white paper. The girl is the only daughter of Mr. John Priestley, painter. When she failed to return home with her message, her mother sent a companion of Helen's to the shop to tell her to hurry up, or she would be late for school. The companion returned saying that Helen was not in the shop. The lead of a man and tram car is quickly discovered to be a lie, made up by the young boy. However, Helen's body is discovered stuffed in a unique potato sack in a recess under the stairs of the very tenemented building where she lives. Importantly, the whole of the late afternoon and evening it had rained. Helen's shoes are still pristine, helping to limit where she had been and limit the time of death spectrum. From the Scotsman, the 23rd of April, 1934. In passage of tenement in which was her home, Aberdeen murder. Aberdeen police continued their search yesterday in connection with the death of Helen Priestley, the 8-year-old daughter of Mr. John Priestley, a painter, and Mrs. Priestley of 61 Urquhart Road, Aberdeen, whose body was found in a flour sack in the entrance passage of the tenement house where her parents live. Up to late last night, no arrest had been made. The child had been missing from her home for 15 hours when the body was discovered at about 5 o'clock on Saturday morning. It was not there when Mr. Priestley and others who were searching returned shortly after 2 o'clock. It was found by Alexander Porter, a joiner who lives across the road from the Priestleys. He had been assisting in the search and was on his way to call on Mr. Priestley to resume the search when he found the body. According to the information of one of the tenants of the house, the body was not in the lobby at 2 a.m. on Saturday. Several neighbours had stated that from their observations in the early hours of Saturday morning, no one entered the passage by the front door up to 3 a.m. So far, only a little girl in the same street has been accepted by the police as having seen Helen after she left a shop in Urquhart Road with a loaf of bread which her mother had sent her to buy during her school lunch hour on Friday. An 8-year-old boy, Dick Sutton, who lives in Urquhart Road, made a statement which put the police on a search for a man of the tramp class, with whom he said he saw Helen at about 2 o'clock on Friday, shortly after she had left the shop. Chief Constable McConnock said during the weekend, however, that no credence was now being attached to this statement. The search, he said, was being concentrated on the Urquhart Road district. Death soon after disappearance. The result of the post-mortem examination had not been revealed last night, but it is believed the child was outraged and then strangled by hand. It is understood that the authorities inclined to the opinion that she had been murdered not long after her disappearance. The sack in which the body was found was clean, and her shoes retained their shine and were not in any way mud-spattered, despite the fact that during the night search for her, rain fell almost unceasingly. The letters BOSS and a faint Canadian stamp on the sack, which had evidently been washed, and the statement of the little playmates of Helen's, who said she saw her near her home carrying a parcel before 2 o'clock on Friday, are the slender clues which are available to the police. Outhouses in garden plots, pigeon houses, and similar structures in the Urquhart Road and Roslyn Road districts were also searched and examined. Mother prostrate. Mrs. Priestley, the girl's mother, is ill and receiving medical attention. Her last recollection of Helen is a merry romp around the kitchen table. Helen asked if she required any messages to be taken, and the mother said she might run along to the shop and get a loaf of bread. As Helen ran out, her mother called after her to hurry and not be late for school. The mother picked up the child's school coat to be ready to give it to her when she returned. The police powdered the handle of the back door of the entrance passage of the tenement where the body was found in an effort to find fingerprints. Appeal for information. Working as they are on slender clues, the police are anxious for any information, however slight, regarding the movements of the girl after leaving the shop, and the chief constable appealed to the public during the weekend for their assistance. In the past 2 days, the police have visited hundreds of houses in the Urquhart Road neighbourhood and in pursuit of their inquiry. The finding of the body directly points to a person within the tenement. It had been raining constantly, yet the potato sack and Helen were dry. There was nobody there at 2 a.m., yet it was there at 5 a.m. Within the whole of the 8-house tenement, only one couple did not get involved in the search for 8-year-old Helen, the Donalds. Alexander and Jeannie Donald lived on the ground floor just around the corner from where Helen's body was found in the potato sack. The Priestleys lived just above them. Mrs. Donald and Mrs. Priestley were known to have a frosty relationship that had been going on for some years. The Donalds' daughter, also named Jeannie, had sometimes played with Helen, but there had been a difference not so long ago, where 8-year-old Jeannie Donald had hit 8-year-old Helen Priestley in the face. Helen, who by all accounts was a talented girl, practiced the piano and was often receiving presents from a family friend. Helen was known to always be very well dressed. The Donalds also control a small cubbyhole under the stairs that is kept locked by themselves. Within are kept potatoes, along with some cleaned potato sacks found on the floor. Helen's body is found just outside the door of the cubbyhole under the stairs. With suspicion more than evidence, Mr. and Mrs. Donald are charged with Helen Priestley's murder and placed under remand. From the Scotsman, the 27th of April, 1934, Aberdeen murder, husband and wife charged. The man and woman who were taken into custody early yesterday morning in connection with the death of Helen Priestley, the Aberdeen girl, whose body was found in a sack in the entrance passage of a tenement in which her parents live, appeared in the sheriff court later in the day and were charged with murdering the girl. The couple are husband and wife. Following the court proceedings, the Procurator Fiscal of Aberdeenshire issued the following statement. Alexander Donald and Jeannie Ewan, or Donald, residing at 61 Urquhart Road, Aberdeen, appeared in the Aberdeen Sheriff Court today, charged with having on Friday or Saturday last assaulted Helen Wilson Robertson Priestley, a girl aged 8 years, residing at 61 Urquhart Road, Aberdeen, by seizing hold of her and compressing her throat and cutting or stabbing her in her private parts, and did murder her. They emitted no declaration and were committed for further inquiry. From medical examinations, it is found that Helen Priestley could not have been killed more than 1.5 hours after eating, placing her death at no later than 3 p.m. A very remarkable finding is that the interference in Helen's private parts was not, as had been originally suspected, a rape. It looked instead as if it had been a staged rape. Alexander Donald had a cast-iron alibi for the time period in which Helen was murdered, and he is released. However, a collection of forensic evidence places Jeannie Donald as involved in Helen's murder. From the Scotsman, the 7th of July, 1934, the Aberdeen murder charge. Woman to be tried in High Court in Edinburgh. Jeannie Ewan or Donald appeared before Sheriff Dallas at a pleading of the High Court at Aberdeen yesterday, where she pleaded not guilty to a charge of murdering Helen Priestley at 61 Urquhart Road in Aberdeen. The new charge against Mrs. Donald is that on the April the 20th in 1934, in the dwelling house occupied by her husband Alexander Donald at 61 Urquhart Road, Aberdeen, she assaulted Helen Wilson Robertson Priestley, then aged 8 years and 6 months, daughter of and residing with John Bain Priestley, at a separate dwelling house at 61 Urquhart Road. That she inflicted serious injury upon her, compressing the child's throat with her hands or by some other method, asphyxiated her and murdered her, and previously evinced malice and ill toward her. Sheriff Dallas intimated that her trial would take place before the High Court of Judiciary in Edinburgh on Monday the 16th of July. There will be 164 witnesses for the prosecution, and among the well-known medical men who will give evidence are Professor John Glaister and Professor Sidney Smith of the Chairs of Forensic Medicine at Glasgow and Edinburgh Universities respectively, and Professor T. Shannon, Professor of Pathology at Aberdeen University. The trial. The trial takes place over a course of 5 days. As was usual due to the serious nature of the crime, the 15 jury members, five of which were women, were empaneled. From the Scotsman, the 17th to the 20th of July, 1934. Murder trial in Edinburgh. Aberdeen woman charged, 8 years old, child death. Considerable public interest was manifested in the proceedings, the public benches in the courtroom being fully occupied, and a long queue of persons unable to gain admission forming up in Parliament Square. The charge, to which the accused had tendered a plea of not guilty, followed upon the disappearance and later discovery of the dead body of a child named Helen Priestley, who resided with her parents in the same tenement as the accused at 61 Urquhart Road in Aberdeen. At the time of the child's disappearance, it may be recalled, there was considerable excitement among the people of Aberdeen, and there were many manifestations of public indignation when the child was found to have been brutally murdered. Among a number of witnesses who gave evidence yesterday were the father and mother of the child, Mrs. Priestley, who was allowed to sit in the witness box, twice gave way to her grief and sobbed bitterly. Evidence of dead child's parents. The charge against the accused was that on April the 20th, in the dwelling house occupied by her husband Alexander Donald at 61 Urquhart Road, Aberdeen, she did assault Helen Wilson Robertson Priestley, then aged 8 years and 6 months, daughter of and residing with John Bain Priestley, at a separate dwelling house at 61 Urquhart Road, did insert her finger or an instrument into the child's private parts and inflict serious injury upon her, compress her throat with her hand, and did murder her, and she did previously evinced malice and ill will toward her. The accused, a woman of about 38 years of age and about average height, wore a black costume and black hat. Seated between two policemen in the dock, she appeared to follow the proceedings with close attention and throughout the day maintained complete composure. The prosecution began. Within 61 Urquhart Road, which faced south, there were eight tenants for whom there was a common staircase. Leading to the staircase was a common close with a door at the front and the back. On the right of the passage, near the back door, was a small recess. The Donnells' house was one of two on the ground floor and was situated at the right hand of the entrance. Motive. The motive for the crime of Jeanie Donald as assailant is weak. There are several comments regarding the antipathy between Mrs. Donald and Mrs. Priestley, as well as several comments of how Jeanie Donald was always watching Helen when she went out or came in, but there is no definitive strong motive that can be found. The evidence regarding Helen's disappearance is reviewed in court. From here, the prosecution outlines the relationship between the Donald and Priestley families. Evidence of Charles' father. John Bain Priestley, 47, was the father of Helen Wilson Robertson Priestley. He formerly resided at 61 Urquhart Road. He was a painter and decorator and had followed that occupation for the past 32 years. He married in 1924 and there was one child, Helen, who was born in September 1925. She was a healthy child, well grown for her age. She was looked after by her mother and Mrs. Robertson, one of the witnesses, who took a great interest in her. The child Helen was never any trouble by going away from home. When she played in the neighbourhood of his house. His house on Urquhart Road was on the first floor, and immediately underneath was the house occupied by the Donnells. The relations between himself and the Donnells was quite all right. He was never in their house, nor they in his. His wife's relations with the Donnells had not been friendly for 5 years. His child was fond of music, and his wife having come into some money, a piano was bought for the child. A teacher came to the house to give the child tuition in music. Mrs. Robertson was kind to the child, always giving her things. The child was always well dressed. Mother's relations with the accused. Mrs. Agnes Priestley, wife of the last witness, wearing deep mourning, next entered the witness box. Asked regarding her relations with Mrs. Donald, she replied, "I ignored her. I did not like her." Mrs. Donald had a daughter, Jeanie, about 8 years old. Witness's daughter did not often play with Mrs. Donald's daughter. Mrs. Priestley then gave evidence as to her daughter's return from school at about 12:30 on Friday, April the 20th, for dinner, and about doing certain errands after dinner. Mrs. Priestley sobbed bitterly as the various articles of clothing worn at the time by the child were produced and shown to her for identification. Proceeding with his examination of the witness regarding the occurrences of the 20th, the Lord Advocate elicited that on Helen's return from Mrs. Robertson's, she asked her daughter to go to the cooperative store to get a plain half loaf. Evidence is brought forward by other households within the tenement who confirm the known poor relationship between the two women. Also, a conversation is brought forward between one of the others in the tenement and Mrs. Donald. Although there is much uproar regarding Helen's disappearance, Mrs. Donald says nothing about it. Police describe the reaction of Mrs. Donald upon being placed under arrest. Accused denial when charged. Evidence was given of the visit of police officers to the Donald house on Wednesday, April the 25th, and of the apprehension of the accused at 12:15 on the morning of the 26th. When Mrs. Donald was cautioned and charged with the murder by a superintendent, her reply was, "I did not do that." In cross-examination of a police witness, the defending counsel obtained an admission that it was following the discovery of stains underneath linoleum in a cupboard in the house, which were thought to be bloodstains, that the accused was apprehended. They were now told, the witness said, that the stains were not bloodstains. The trial is taking place before the Lord Justice Clerk and a jury, on which there are 10 men and 5 women. From here, the prosecution begins to unveil its forensic evidence. The finding of the body. Inspector John Mayer of the Aberdeen City Police said he went with the detective constable to the Donald's house at 11 on the Friday night. Mr. Donald came to the door and they asked him if he would come and open his cellar. Mr. Donald did so, and they made a search. There was nothing in it. They also searched the recess below the stair, and there they found a bag of potatoes and 2 or 3 empty bags. Detective Constable Alexander Matheson gave similar evidence, saying they had not then searched any of the rooms in the Donald's house. They looked into the lavatories, but found no traces of the child. Constable John B. Casey said he was on duty in Urquhart Road at about 5 o'clock on the Saturday morning when the witness, Mrs. Robertson, ran from the lobby at number 61 and shouted, "Bobby, Bobby, she's been found." He went into the lobby at 5:10 and saw a sack. He put his hand into the sack and felt the hand of the child and found it was cold. The lobby was dry and clean. In reply to further questions, witness said the bag was a jute bag and there was a wet mark on it. At about 6:30, while he was still in the lobby, the Donald's door was opened about 3 inches. He saw something white and the door closed. 2 minutes later, Mr. Donald came into the lobby and picked up a bottle of milk. A conversation with Mr. Donald. "When Donald came out, he took 2 steps towards me," he said, "and is there any word?" I said. "She had been found in a sack in the lobby," he replied. "Oh." Detective Constable James Cole gave evidence as to taking photographs of the sack containing the body as it was found in the recess, and to taking photographs of various articles of clothing taken from the body of the child. Witness identified the sack produced, in which the body was found. It had printed upon it in large red letters, BOSS. Witness also spoke to searching a lockfast cupboard under the staircase and taking possession of 6 sacks, which he found on the floor. He did not see the word BOSS on any of these bags. He identified various articles which were taken from the accused house. One he described as hair found adhering to the bottom of a chair leg. House thoroughly searched. Witness said he searched the accused house on several occasions between April the 26th and June the 7th. No one was living in the house, as the key of the house, witness said, was in the possession of the police. So far as he knew, things remain undisturbed between April the 25th and June the 7th. Police visit the Donalds. Witness, who had proceeded to 61 Urquhart Road when it was reported that the body had been found in a sack in the recess in the lobby, was asked if he noticed anything about the appearance of the bag. He said he noticed it was clean. It was dry, with the exception of one damp spot. There was no damp marks on the concrete outside the back area, and the ground beyond the concrete was damp. He examined the grounds for footmarks, but did not discover any. Cause of the death. The cause of death is established as the asphyxiation from strangulation, with considerable hemorrhaging taking place. All of the medical testimony is adamant that there was no sexual attack, and that what had been used was either a finger or an implement that was the size of a finger. If it had been a male attack, the wound would have been larger and different. Pressure on the girl's throat. Professor Theodore Shannon, professor of pathology, gave evidence regarding a report on the deceased girl carried out at a post-mortem examination on the body of the deceased child, and said, in evidence, that they were of the opinion that death was due to asphyxiation apparently caused by compression of the neck. From the presence of recently ingested food and from the early stages of digestion, they believed that death took place approximately from an hour to 2 hours after a meal. Microscopic examination took place, and they found no male reproductive elements. Hair tests. Hair found on the body and in the sack are compared with hair taken from the hairbrush and comb of Jeannie Donald. An expert in hair analysis is brought in who confirm the match. One reason for the easy match is that the hair found was waxed, giving it a unique condition and irregularity. Dr. John Glaister, Professor of Forensic Medicine at the University of Glasgow, stated that he carried out tests on certain productions in the case, including portions of hair of the deceased girl, a hairbrush and comb with hair of the accused, hairs removed from the sack in which the body was found, and some fireside debris taken from the kitchen of the accused house. Replying to the Lord Advocate, he said the most outstanding features of the comparison which existed, in his opinion, between the head hairs of the accused and certain of the hairs found upon the sack were the rather unique condition of the hair, an irregularity in calibre. Fibre testimony. Fibre testimony from the jute bag Helen had been placed in is reviewed next. The examination of fibres. Mr. Joseph Barr stated that he had great experience in the examination of the fibres of cloth, and he gave evidence of examination of certain fibres taken from the sack. Certain of the fibres found on the sack were identical with fibres found in the house of the accused. Bloodstains on the sack and in the Donald home. Bloodstains found in the Donald household were found to be type O, the same as Helen Priestley. Drops of blood on sack. Professor Smith said that from the position of the stains on the child's clothing, he considered that the child was probably lying on her stomach when the wounding took place. Speaking of the smears of blood and drops of blood on the sack in which the body was found, Professor Smith said he had inferred that the drops were caused by blood dripping from some instrument. From the coagulation on the fibre of the sack, he was able to draw the inference that the like blood fell on the sack shortly after it was shed. Although all of the evidence so far was of a circumstantial nature and could possibly be explained away, a unique bacterial evidence was pioneered by the forensic team. Helen's intestines had burst during the attack, which released bacteria into her bloodstream. The release of the bacteria made her blood unique, and this was found to match within the blood found within the Donald household. The prosecution rested its case. The defense was to attempt to punch holes in the prosecution. Jeannie Donald held firm that she was innocent. The defense team did not place either Jeannie or her husband on the stand. It took the jury 17 minutes to find Jeannie Donald guilty of the murder of Helen Priestley. The sentence for the murder was the usual sentence of death. Jeannie broke down at hearing the verdict and had to be carried off, screaming protests of innocence. Outside, the crowds, which had been waiting to hear the verdict, loudly cheered. The execution date was set for the 13th of August, 1934, to take place at Craignish Prison in Aberdeen. From the Scotsman, the 24th of July, 1934, the Aberdeen murder trial. After a trial extending over a week in the High Court at Edinburgh, the jury, by a majority yesterday, found Jeannie Ewan, or Donald, guilty of having murdered Helen Priestley, the 8-and-a-half-year-old child of neighbours who were resident in the same tenement. The particularly revolting feature of the crime had greatly stirred popular resentment and indignation in the locality, and it was, therefore, in the interests of justice that the trial should take place elsewhere. The little girl had been sent on an errand by her mother in the early afternoon after dinner, and when she did not return, a hue and cry was raised. At about 5 o'clock next morning, her body was found in a sack in a recess in the lobby of the tenement. The case for the Crown was that she had been murdered by Mrs. Donald, who had then inflicted upon her injuries of a nature intended to make it appear that the child had been the victim of an attack by a man. What were supposed to be bloodstains on linoleum in a cupboard in the kitchen led to the arrest of Mrs. Donald, but the stains were subsequently found not to be blood. But although it was a false clue that led to the arrest, it did not follow that the direction in which it pointed was wrong. It is true that the evidence was entirely circumstantial, but as the Lord Justice Clerk pointed out in his charge to the jury, evidence must not be regarded as unreliable because it is circumstantial. A famous English judge indeed expressed a preference for it on the ground that while witnesses might lie, circumstances could not. In this case, there were numerous coincidences that could hardly be explained without inferring the guilt of the accused. Lord Aitchison, in a masterly summing up, which must have materially assisted in clarifying the minds of the jury, demonstrated the improbability of the crime having been committed by a stranger, male or female, outside the tenement. Was it likely that the murderer would carry his victim home through the public street in an open sack, untied at the mouth, and with the feet of the victim protruding? Murderers don't carry their victims home, the judge remarked. They leave them lying where they kill them, or they try to conceal them or bury them, but they don't carry them home to the place where the victim lived. If the body had been carried in by the front door or the back door of the tenement, it was virtually certain to have been seen, for the place was being watched. The only alternative was that it had been put out from some house in the tenement. The Donalds did not take part in the search for the missing girl, and there was apparently refusal to open their door when the body was found in the lobby of the tenement in the early hours of the morning. Mrs. Donald, or at any rate Mr. Donald, might have been able to give some explanation in the matter, but counsel for the defence, no doubt prudently, did not put either in the witness box. Times and other circumstances fitted in with the theory that the child never got beyond Mrs. Donald's door when she returned from the errand, and there were some very remarkable circumstances regarding the sack, fibre and hair, none perhaps conclusive in itself, but together making a formidable body of testimony. It may be that the accused did not intend to murder the girl, but that the girl died or became unconscious in her hands. Executions of women were rare in Scotland. One day after the trial, the request for an appeal was put forward, and Jeanie's sentence was committed to life imprisonment. Life imprisonment meant a minimum sentence of 10 years. Jeanie was released from prison during World War II, and as such, her release received very little notice. Jeanie died in obscurity in 1976. The Priestley family moved from the original location, and there is no information as to how they continued on after the horrific death of their daughter. That concludes this episode of Murderous Mondays, the murder of Helen Priestley. We very much hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy this show, we would be grateful if you could like or subscribe to our channel. We upload 5 days a week. Mondays are murderous as we delve into the dark side of Regency and Victorian crime. Wednesdays are wicked, where we pull together stories with a similar theme, such as Doctors of Death. Fridays are frightful, where we look at crimes in a location, such as stories from the stage to murder and scandal in the aristocracy. Saturdays is Serial Killer Saturdays, where we investigate serial killer stories from the past. And Sundays is a bit of fun, with a unique mini-murder mystery where you, the listener, have a chance to solve a murderous riddle. On the last Sunday of the month, we offer a 2-hour compilation of stories based around a theme. If you like this channel, you may be interested in our sister channel, Chronicle of the Times, where we offer a lighter side of Victorian and Edwardian news stories, as well as a weekly podcast of stories from authors of the day, such as Dickens, Collins, Benson and Conan Doyle. Thank you again for watching and listening. This has been News of the Times, and I am Robin Coles.